Do you like games? Do you like beer? How about doing both of those things at the same time? If so, come on down to our sponsor, Reckless Brewing Company in Bethlehem, New Hampshire. Every other Monday, we're hosting what we call Nerd Out Nights, where you can come in, play some D&D, Magic the Gathering, or any other tabletop game you feel like bringing in. For more information and to reserve a table, head over to recklessbrewing.com. That's R-E-K-L-I-S, brewing.com, and head over to the events page. Hope to see you there.
Kings of Coin, only one is known for their jolly demeanor and approachability by the common folk. I speak, of course, of Mix Margus Ruba. The king of the tavern-keeping trade is known to frequent their taverns quite regularly, mingling with all sorts of the city's residents and visitors. They love a glass of hard whiskey just as much as a delicious jelly wine, and they are never afraid to get foolish. Just don't go insulting their family. Mix Margus has been known to bar brawl and to show the full ferocity of their orcish heritage. Speaking of their family, Mix Margus is married to a human, Madame Zola Ruba. And the couple have two children, Zaris the Younger, and of course, Xenia Margus Heir. Now, Xenia Ruba is well known for moving against the grain of society. It's said she dresses in dark and drab to stand out amongst the colorful clothing of Zinda. She also has been known to admire luminaries of a more rebellious nature.
Well, not...
I know who you're talking about.
Now I want some whiskey.
Oh, dude. See, the problem with that is...
Got to finish your beer first.
I already got a can of beer, yeah. Wow.
On the little drinks and cans, I have a little life update. I don't know if I told you guys this yet, actually. I don't know if you know this.
Excuse me?
Oh, I think I know what this is.
I'm down to one rock star a day.
Oh, actually,
no. I've been told.
Wow.
Only go one rock star a day now.
Wow, okay.
I mean, a little talk, me and my wife. I'm cutting back. It's very painful. But I'm replacing the second rock star with some booch.
This I've heard.
Some kombucha.
Of.
Yeah.
I heard this was happening.
You know, I've tried kombucha one time and I hated it.
I actually quite like it. It's sour. It's vinegary sour. It's good.
There are so many. I mean, like, I've only had, I'm going to say, a handful of kombuchas, but they vary so wildly from, like, the really, like, natural tasting ones that are, like, super vinegary and super kind of yucky to the, like, more sweet ones. Mm-hmm. It seems like there's such a range, so... I'm glad you found something you like. That's
it works.
Working out for you.
Maybe I can wean off rock stars fully at some point. It's horrifying future to consider, but the old ticker's got to keep ticking.
Proud of you.
Well, I mean, speaking as a man who has his own vices, I don't know. We all got to have something, I suppose.
A man's got to pick his poison. I say this all the time. Man's got to pick his poison, mm-hmm. Except for me. I don't get one.
That's not, how come, do you think?
Because the old ticker's got to keep ticking. Too many cats to worry about. can't go clucking out early, leaving the missus with 10 little furry mouths to feed.
Well, of course not. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that.
It's what it is. It's what it is. But hey, I got second poison now.
The booch?
The booch!
I'm oddly okay with the booch.
The booch. Oh, shit. Well, it's been a while, guys.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I miss our friends at Mount Mania so much. And it was so exciting and such a great time. Mm. But it is really nice and comfy cozy to be back in the studio.
And it's been like, what, 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
It's been 2 weeks since we recorded.
Has it been?
It's only been 2 weeks. We took a week off.
It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, when we take a week off like this... We are now current with the listeners.
No, we didn't record before Mountain Mania.
Yeah, we did.
I think it's been the Thursday before we did. I think it was 3 weeks.
Oh, no, we didn't. Did we? I don't remember.
I don't know. Who cares? But we're back now.
We're back.
Yeah. We are current with all the pants people.
Yes.
Until we finish this recording.
That's right.
We'll be about 4 days ahead.
You're all on the same page. So wonder right now. Hey, actually, you know what? Let's ask. Let's put this out to you guys real quick before we get into this. Mm. Before we get into this. Who done it? What's going on, huh?
Oh, man, dude, I listened to the latest episode today to re-listen, and I'm more confused than ever.
I mean, you got some hot new leads last time. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of big information. Should we recap it? You guys want to recap it?
Well, maybe I can sort of talk about what's on the front of my mind, and then you can fill in the gaps if you want.
Boom, I love
it. So from the last episode, DiPiero told Blanche that Jean told the speaker for Noiri, who was Amos Near's aunt, right?
So this is actually a mistake, essentially a mistake on my part, which I had to bring up way back in, Let's Talk About Your Future. That's the episode title. Cannot remember which episode number it is because I don't know what episode number this is. But Let's Talk About Your Future was when you guys went to a rural town and you broke up to go and speak with... Well, honestly, Zebulon's grandmother and Jules' sister, cousin slash mother. So you had your whole thing there. Jean Franklin also was going to meet with, he also had was able to get his sort of like information. He was able to meet with the speaker from Noiri.
Right.
And he wanted to tell that speaker everything.
Right.
What I forgot, so Jean Franklin's an idiot because I'm an idiot, is I had all in my notes that was Anika Near, obviously related to King Amos, of Coin, yeah. Amos Near. So it was kind of like, yeah, Jean Franklin made a little goof. He probably figured it was extended enough that he could like go out there and be like, hey, you know, your nephew's up to some shit. And this is, you know, and they're just like, they told Jean, what they said to Jean, this is important to remember, is you of all people should be grateful for what they did.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause he had a lot to gain. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jean was furious. How dare they say that to him? But yeah, that is kind of where that ties in. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like, I mean, motive. You know what I mean? To get rid of Jean and Jules. Then, gosh, what else was I thinking about? The Grand Messer Amos Near, when Jules asked for a tour, he was like, yeah, hey, daughter maid, go clean up the other dressing room because it's a little messy. And then Jules could hear her in the next room moving clothes hangers and stuff around. And, like, we've already had two costumes be significant in this. So, it's like, what was he hiding? I don't know. I can't put it all together. Because then the detect thoughts leads me to believe that they weren't the murderer. I don't know.
I will say this.
I need more info.
At least not this murder.
Everything you see about Amos Near will lead you to believe he probably put on 17 outfits before he chose the right one for today.
Okay, so maybe I'm overthinking it.
So, it's very possible. It's just, like, it was really just messy because this guy would... throw on a million outfits.
Yeah,
okay. You wouldn't think that's out of character. It might have just been messy from that goofballing.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Everybody shut up. I'm doing something.
Utter chaos.
Before we move on and get this rolling, I have a button here from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah?
You seem to have forgotten conveniently.
Yeah. No, I forgot. What's that about?
Yeah, at the end of the episode when we finished recording, you said, oh, I meant to give you a button.
Oh, did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Oh, man, I forgot. Moving on. So.
Yeah, I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
I knew that wasn't going to happen.
For the scene with.
He's awarding himself
a
button. For the scene
with the Grandmaster. Okay, fine. Whoops. It's now in my jar. It's now in my jar.
Pants people, riot. Riot. Speak out.
Nope.
I might actually be on David's side with this one.
No, we all agreed. You said, oh, I meant to give you a button. And I said, I'm going to grab this button here and put it here so we remember. And you're like, okay.
Steven and I both have goldfish memories, so this probably never happened.
I mean, so do I, but I'm not going to forget that. That's too important.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
That's life or death.
Take your damn button. Take it to the bank. You robber.
Speaking of Amos Near.
Speaking of Amos Near.
Sorry, I think you wanted to... recap.
Let's do a quick recap of what you learned. There was a ton of information last time. We'll start with Jules. Jules, you came in the room. You made some new enemies. And you got to keep wary because the last... But you went into this room. You used detect thoughts. things went wrong. I like to think that what you didn't realize was that Larissa Rin was actually kind of on edge, sort of watching. The second you kind of tried to make that spell, she made her move. That triggered off, you know, Amos near. They all kind of turned on you, realizing you were going to cast something. In that moment of fear, Amos near looked to you and thought, so he's the killer. He thought about how, yes, of course it would be Jules LaRoche, because proud Eden had shown some relics in her home of worship towards Zomante Shab. This person that Jean Franklin reports was murdered 16 years ago, this Eden was connected to Zomante Shab, maybe connected to your family. And Amos Nier thought, you know, connected those dots in his mind for you, thinking that, yeah, that's probably why you're here. Perhaps for revenge? I don't know. But he was thinking that because of that connection, you're here to kill him. Larissa Rin was thinking about how the second her father, Amos Nier, as she is the secret heir of the family, basically speaks out, she will come forward and kill you. Dagger in hand, you press deeper into her mind and you realize a few things. She's terrified. She's terrified because she's realizing... The fuck was
what
that?
What the fuck was that?
I'm terrified now.
Is this an alien invasion?
No one touched anything, Sirenscape.
Did that get picked up, you think?
Oh, yeah.
What the... All right.
Oh, is that... No, that's just an update.
Where was I? She's terrified because she's realizing that these accidents that have been occurring, the horse trampling, the riot, the bloodletter riot gone bad, they've been killing off the heirs. Perhaps it seems like it's accidental, but she thinks there's for some reason, and now maybe you don't understand why she feels like it's this case. Maybe there's more to her reasoning that you don't know, but she thinks the heirs of each family are in danger, and she's afraid that whoever's doing this knows that she's really Amos Nier's heir. As Rhaenyra is not. So she's terrified. Moving on from there, you know that there's a glimmer of hope in her heart because her brother is coming. Her younger twin brother is on his way. Sturge Man is coming. This being a wild secret. No one knows that the King of Coins' son is the mysterious Sturge Man. No one knows Sturge Man's identity. Maybe Rune does. Maybe that's how Rune has some control over him. And now you do too, yeah. Which is in itself very, very dangerous. The last thing you heard as you were going out, you heard from Amos Nier's mind that if they realize they can't trust you, well, his son will deal with you on the morrow. Tick tock. The party begins again at 4. Everyone will be released in their rooms if Amos Nier has any say over it. And at this point, sorry to say it, you're going to have a hard time convincing him otherwise because he is now an enemy of yours, more or less. Blanche, what you know is this. I don't... This is the worst track.
You know what? I like it.
No.
Keep it.
Yeah, the timing has been really good so far.
Get out of your track. All right. Let's find something else. I don't like that either. Can we switch? Oh my
God. It's so stupid.
Ah, so dumb. Blanche, what you learned was this. Le Dulemois was in the room, as the ripped banner would report, but he was there on orders from Lord De Piero. De Piero had asked him to look into matters of the Amos Nier, perhaps trying to find, as De Piero implied, the exact same information John Franklin is looking for. It seems they are of a similar goal, although De Piero will not work with Jean, as Jean's already proven himself to be too blunt for this. Hmm. The boy has no subtlety in him. You know this, Blanche. No subtlety at all. He's an honest soul. He came forward to the very aunt, we already spoke of this, Amos Nier, trying to, like, you know, reveal it all. So De Piero has pretty much dropped him from his own trust. It seems Ledoux didn't do much better. And so, after promising to tell you everything once there's time, tell you the truth about what maybe happened 16 years ago, you move out to Ledoux Lemoine's room to interview him. What you learn was everything that Jean Franklin said, everything you've heard at this point, all kind of checked out. The only addition being that Ledoux-Lemoine saw a figure moving down the hall towards Mello-Ara's room before everything went down. Before Jean Franklin approached, before Lisa Rin came to the door with the wine and the fruit, a figure wearing, you assume from his description of a horrifying, a ghostly creature, a Biza with a skeletal face, a creature that was actually just a person wearing the Danse Macabre costume. They came to the room early. They were in there for a long time then. While everything else was going on, while the wine was delivered, everything, this figure was in that room. And you know this, Mello-Ara was alive when the door was opened by Larissa Rin. Jean Franklin even heard them.
Yeah, because so, he received the plate.
So, very strange. Very, very strange. Let's cut into that scene. Because you just realized one more thing. One potential possibility. It was one thing that Ledoux-Lemoine was able to sort of recollect. Because in that moment of fear, he kind of absorbed so much of this scene that maybe Jean hadn't. And he remembered there being loud footsteps, too loud, as this figure is moving down the hall. And in that moment afterwards, you connected this to potentially being the large sort of combat heavy boots of Xenia Ruba, a princess of Coin, the daughter of Mix Margus Ruba. So how is she mixed up in all this? Is she even mixed up in all this? You don't know. But as you sit there in this room sort of thinking this over, Ledoux is still thinking about how this is definitely a Biza. Some ghostly creature did this. He just looks terrified, like,
that's all. That's everything I could tell you, sir. I'm sorry. I know I should have spoken up sooner about the Biza. I was afraid, you see. I thought they'd think I was crazy, and if they told anybody that I was on the floor, I mean, they would know I was up to no good. They would know I was investigating a most near. I failed you, sir. I failed our lord. I am sorry.
Are there any other secrets that you can tell me?
This is all I know. I know simply that there was a murder of some sort 16 years ago. De Piero was aware of it, but has not been able to find any evidence of it. He's tried to get testimony, get written evidence from the other kings of Coin, but they've been clever. They haven't given it to him. So he sent me into Amos Nia's lodgings to see if I can find something, anything. It's a long shot, but that's it. I promise, that's it.
Wait here. And Blanche is going to get up and exit the room.
It's time.
It's not him, Harlan.
It doesn't matter. You told us he was snooping around in Amos Nia's room. I'm sorry, Master Defense. I'm sorry, but we gotta take him. We gotta bring him to the cells.
Well, while you waste time here, I'm going to go find the killer. You can join me and help, or you can lose your glory here.
I mean,
for a snoop.
He just looks over at the other guy at the door like, you want to take him and I'll just go with her? Sorry, I just defeated your plan very quickly.
Blanche looks at the other door guy. You have no honor.
He looks sad.
Xenia is in her room, I presume?
Yes, you presume. You know,
which
though,
is actually on the same floor as Harlan or Mello's room.
It is indeed on the same floor. Funnily enough, you know from the map that was given to you, she was actually supposed to be in the room right next door to Mello. But that was changed, actually, by Mello's mother, Samira. Hmm. Let me open up the map, actually. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and it's on the way to Amos's room. So hopefully Jules will be able to, or hopefully Blanche will be able to run into Jules on her way down to Xenia's room.
So you start to move away, Harlan, and in tow, and you can hear, like, the door creak open again as the Duergar just steps in, like,
all right, come with me. Let's go. You're going to meet your buddy in the south.
What? No, no, yeah. What's he? No, no. Master Defense. No, no, it's Jean. Not the... No.
Blanche calls out behind her. It's okay, Ledoux. You'll be safe there.
It's kind of like, you're moving away. He's being pulled down the stairs in a different spot, and I think, you know that with the two of them locked up together, it's going to get very, very, very loud in the cellar.
For one reason or another.
Hey. How dare you, sir. Let's go to floor number two. On floor number two, we see Jules and Chester. Now, Around the time you guys move down the stairs, the two of you are moving away from Amos Nier's room. And you've just told Jester that, you know, you almost died. He didn't ask questions. He shrugged. Yeah, I figured.
As you're that's normal.
It's normal. It's honestly normal. It's normal these days for sure. As you're kind of pushing down the hallway, perhaps moving over to like go up the stairs to meet where, you know, Blanche went, or maybe just wait in a common place, Chester's going to look over to you. So, I've been doing more Chestering.
What'd you find?
Not a lot, to be honest. I've been speaking to it's hard to speak to the other guests, so just talking to the Dwargar, you know, with the Silent Verse, and they don't know a lot. But there's one kind of fun thing.
What's that?
Well, a lot of them have noted that Mela Aro is kind of being weird before all this. Not bad weird, but good weird. Like, he always hated these things, you know? He didn't like being involved in all the politics, all this stuff. He didn't like coming to the Grand Messer's place, but this year, man, this year he was excited. Like, real visibly excited to be here. Happy. That's it, though.
Huh.
Yeah. Kind of odd. They asked, you wouldn't say why.
I wish you would have gotten more.
I know, but hey. That's what you get for a passive Chestering. Maybe he hadn't stolen a button, you know? But hey, these things happen. You hear footsteps?
Good try, buddy.
You hear footsteps moving down the nearby stairs as Blanche and Harlan move down. Let's say you are down on the... And maybe you guys are heading down towards the main sort of entrance staircase towards entrance hall on the first floor. But as you go there, you see coming down the on the eastern wing by the where the third floor rooms of Ledoux and DePio and that gang are, you see Blanche and Harlan. And as you all see each other, you realize you are just outside of Xenia and Margus's rooms. A couple more Dwargar in the hall standing at the ready.
Blanche pulls Jules aside, or, you know, puts an arm over him or something so they can whisper. Ledoux had and saw...
Hey, what are you whispering over there?
Excuse me, Harlan, just a minute, please.
I'm a little curious. I wanna...
Hey, Harlan, look over here. There's a weird-looking bug.
What? In my house? What?
Yeah, look at this thing. Yeah, check it out. All right, let's talk. I heard some weird things, weird crazy things. Gonna interview me, huh?
You say crazy?
Crazy things. I speak weird. I'm Chester. All right, you guys talk.
Harlan loves bugs.
Chester's taking Harlan aside.
Ledoux saw through the keyhole while he was in Amos's room snooping around someone dressed in what he describes and I interpret as the Dance Macabre mask. And one thing he said about the costume stood out to me was the loud... clunking boots. I believe it may have been Xenia who was in the costume, who was in the room.
You think she's doing this?
It's our next best option. And
somebody couldn't have put on her boots?
I suppose that's possible as well. But I think we should talk to her. I think you should talk to her. She idolizes you.
Why did you just look me up and down when you said that?
I mean, come on. Look at what I'm working with here in front of me. I can see what Xenia likes.
Well, Amos seems to think that I'm here to kill him.
What did you do to make him think that?
Flashback to last episode where Blanche is like, hey, don't fucking...
Well, we can talk about that part later.
I should have known. Well, you're safe, so.
But there's more. Larissa's his daughter.
Larissa, the head maid.
Yeah.
Well.
They're keeping it under wraps.
Hmm.
Oh, wait.
No, don't do it.
There's more.
Damn it. Oh my god. Okay.
Sturge Man's her brother.
Wow, Sturge Man is...
This is tight. This is tight-lipped.
Nobody knows or know is why. Supposed to know his identity.
No.
Nice work, Jules LaRoche.
They're twins.
Huh. Well, I wish we had more time to talk on this, to dwell on this, but...
Yeah, but the show's only an hour.
And 4 o'clock approaches rapidly.
It is, I should say, 2:30 right now. The last little bit was about half an hour, so at this point, you have an hour and a half until, yeah, things happen. Might have mentioned that. I can't remember.
Okay, I've got some good stuff, too. De Piero knows about the murder that Jean is trying to solve, and he wants to help Jean solve it, but he doesn't want Jean's help because Jean is, well, he's Jean. So, now that we've caught each other up...
There's one more thing you might... I feel like might be mentioned here, that you might mention, Jules, which is the fact that, and it's not proven, but Larissa Reen thinks the heirs are the targets. Jean Franklin is one of the heirs.
Blanche, what David said.
Well, gosh, what should we do about that? Should we split up again?
We got to keep Jean Franklin safe.
Yes.
One way or another.
He is with Ledoux now, but I don't know if Ledoux has, well, any combat capabilities.
No. Financial advisor, fully not combat ready or able at all. Does not believe that the muscle needs to be strengthened, only the mind.
Do you want to make sure Jean's taken care of?
Yes, you've...
I'll go talk to Xenia.
You have proven yourself capable of this investigation, and I will...
I almost died, but that's neither here nor there. We move forward.
I wish you had left that part out. Very well. I shall accompany Ledoux to the cells and guard Jean, I suppose. Oh, boy. Okay. Come find me when you're done with Xenia.
Yes.
All right. Blanche is going to make haste to the basement.
Damn. David's got a shit-eating grin
We're
on his face.
Splitting
and I'm scared
up
now.
Again. This is craziness.
I hate this.
This is fun. This is a lot of fun. Okay.
Whose idea was it to come in here without like any sort of communication?
Oh, good stuff. So
wait, we don't have the sending stones, do we?
No.
Who am I starting with here?
Stop.
Jules. Starting with you. As Blanche trods down the steps, down to the first floor and lower, you turn your attention to the rooms in the second floor east wing. Xenia and Margus, right beside each other in separate suites. You want to move to Xenia Ruba's room?
Yeah. Jules moves up. Before he knocks, though, he puts his ear up to the door.
Oh.
Can I roll?
Roll perception.
15.
You go to press your ear to the door, and I think as you're doing that, you hear the Duergar beside you just say, and I'll say, Harlan's staying with you, actually, so he'll be close by, but the other Duergar here will say,
Inspector LaRoche, something you should know about this room. And as you hear, you press your ear, you can hear inside.
Now, no worries. Your Tata will take care of everything.
Margus is inside as well.
Shit.
Careful. They're known to brawl.
Shit. I mean, he's not going in. He's going to knock first, though.
You knock. There's just kind of a silence inside. Perhaps you hear, like, rolling with that 15, some footsteps as someone seems to move, perhaps farther around. And a moment later, as footsteps approach you, the door opens up. And you're facing this very jolly figure, this gray-skinned, full orc, in just, like, kind of this very colorful, very Zinda demeanor. Kind of almost like a blend of, like, the aristocratic... garb and something more workman's. Something that let them fit in even in the streets of Xenda. And Margus Ruba just looks you over and they say,
"Ah, Jules LaRoche. We spoke earlier in the courtyard. What can I do for you? I thought we were all supposed to be under room arrest. Of course, I moved over here to be with my darling daughter, but surprised you're out and about."
Well, I've been kind of tasked with figuring all this out.
Luminaries, they get around, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Drink?
No, thanks. No, I'm good.
All right.
I gotta stay level-headed for this.
There's a little flask.
In my experience, a level head is never the best place to be, especially in times of trouble.
What you got there?
Oh, pure whiskey.
I love that it's specifically pure whiskey.
I don't know drinks, says David.
No, we're just making our rounds, doing our due diligence. You know, in a situation like this, we gotta talk to everybody.
Sure. Talk. Yeah, you know, as you look in the room, you could see, like, if you look even on the map in Xenia's room, the door faces a sort of partition, like a divider wall that kind of loops around. There's probably just a big sort of frame portrait there of Amos Nir, because he's an asshole. And then somewhere around that corner, you would assume, is Xenia.
Oh, you can goad her.
But Margus doesn't look like they're going to move. They're being jolly, but there's something very firm about their position.
Oh, look at all these autographs that are falling out of my pocket.
Yeah. Let me go there first.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
Jules is going to awkwardly shift his body. Yeah, well, thing is, on the list of people we got to talk to, she's next.
Well, you'll understand that the death of a fellow prince is a very traumatizing thing for a young lady.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's not gonna speak with you, but you can talk to me.
Yeah, look at these autographs just falling all over the place. All right, well, hear me out. Just pulls out his loot.
Are you actually doing this?
Happening?
Played a little thing.
Are you actually doing this?
Get out.
Fucking hell. Roll performance.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Roll performance with advantage. Fuck. It's so good. Shit.
And he just kind of starts a little performance.
I don't know if...
And that's a 19.
You get advantage, though. I mean, try.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
That's a 22.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Margus looks impressed, but unmoving. They stare you down, just unfazed, kind of about to like raise their hands up as if they're going to say like, you know, please go, you know, or moving over to the door to close it. And then you hear in the background,
Ta-ta, wait. Let him in.
And Margus turns around, looks sort of like surprised, and then just kind of bites their lip. Unsure, and then steps aside.
That was a great move.
Phenomenally good.
Mm-hmm. You earned that button you stole earlier.
Mm-hmm. That's phenomenally good.
Fuck you both.
Let's go downstairs.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, God.
Blanche, you are... you guys had a little conversation, so I think in that time, Ledoux has already kind of moved ahead of you, down in the cellar, already kind of put in a cell. Let's drop down into the cellar floor. Now, if you look at the storage room there's really only just one actual cell, so it's not the most comfortable sort of situation. It's pretty small, as Ledoux was sort of brought in, pushed into the cell. So the doors, you probably hear the door closing as you're moving down the stairs, and just like, what? No, not with him. You can't possibly expect me to. Oh dear. Oh, and he smells like bog. Oh, goodness me. Oh, Ledoux, damnable Ledoux.
Just like pure. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
That's. Twiggo just, hey, settle down in there, settle down. Hey, come on. Hey, what is this? It's about what you expected as you move around in the room. You can see like two turtles staring at each other, their foreheads almost touching as their glares, their eyes are trying to bulge out at each other, like, like hands sort of curled in the fists. You even see like in this moment, Jean Franklin towers over Ledoux a bit. He's not like a small, he's well built. He's been trained by you. He's got like a very athletic, strong body where Ledoux is very flimsy, very frail for a turtle.
Yeah.
Barely able to wield that giant shell, but still in wit. Jean Franklin's nemesis. The perfect matchup. Wink.
A match made in the basement.
So what?
I'm sorry, I thought I said that to myself. Are the Dwergar still around?
Yeah, they've been hanging out. There's two of them down here. Seems like there's always two of them down here.
So Blanche is going to sit down outside of the cell and explain to Jean. I told Harlan that I don't think Ledoux was the murderer.
Wait, what? He's definitely the murderer. He did it. He framed me. You think I would frame you? Really? You think I'm so foolish as to send you down? You are the born lord, after all. Where would our people be without the great Jean Franklin? Hey, shut up! Oh, but I forgot, Jean Franklin ran away from home, ran off to frolic amongst the Citadel with other luminaries, and you know what? I had my reasons. Oh, we know your reasons. They're just going back and forth.
Blanche is going to sit patiently and wait for them to stop.
About like a full 2 minutes later, just panting from all the yelling. Oh, some sore throats.
2 minutes later.
Yes, sir.
However, I could not stop him from being apprehended for the infraction of snooping in the Grand Messer's rooms.
Which was of my own accord, and nobody put me up to it.
Kind of looks over at the Duergar, just sort of shrug.
A matter for another time.
Wait. Why were you snooping in the Grand Messer's rooms? Wait, that was you I heard, but wait. Sir, what's happening? I've been in this cell, I don't know what's going on.
Yes, we've pieced together that you heard Ledoux heard and saw somebody else. That's where Jules is now.
A beezer. It was a beezer. It was a beezer. You think one of the anger spirits of the forest would... you believe him?
And we'll call it there.
You gotta, like, do something about these two.
Right. Jean, I believe you're in danger.
What?
It's become obvious that the heirs are the target of these murders.
But there's only been one murder.
The accidents are just piling up too fast. We can't risk it. We have to see that you're safe.
But how would someone make accidents? I don't understand.
They probably rolled a natural one. I don't know. That's not for us to figure out here and now. Now we just need to ensure your safety.
And, like, there's some actual gravity here. I think even Ledoux looks, like, stark and terrified.
You think the bees is after Jean? We must ward this place against spirits. Do we have anyone with any sort of clerical abilities? Anyone around?
I believe a cleric is arriving soon to ward against spirits, Ledoux. Yes, thank you.
Oh, very well. Yes.
Do you have any more physical ideas? Anything in your luggage? Anything you brought with you? You or De Piero for any sort of added protection?
No, there's never supposed to be danger here. I mean, we have the Silent Verse. The fact that this happened at all is quite incredible. And they're after me.
Jean's kind of muttering to himself.
But why? Why the heirs?
It is incredible, isn't it?
Who would target the heirs of the kings? If they have a problem with the kings, why not target the kings? What possible motive is it to kill the heirs off, sir?
Well, we haven't quite figured it out yet.
Let's cut back upstairs. Jules, you're stepping into this lavish suite. You look around at a space that's just decorated with accents of purple and blue. It's opulent, but not nearly as opulent, of course, as the Grand Messer's chambers, which are just much, much larger. But it is definitely a very cute little suite. As you turn around this corner looking into it, you can see that Xenia Ruba sits upon the edge of the sort of queen bed that stands against the back wall. She is dressed, as before, all in black and very sort of gothic outfit, sort of black lipstick, eyeliner. She's a half-orc. Her skin is a light gray versus her Tata's very dark gray. And as you look at her, you see there's streaks of black running down her face from her eyes where her mascara seems to have run. And she kind of wipes it as you begin to approach and almost kind of like lurches back a little bit, kind of surprised and maybe intimidated that Jules LaRoche is currently in her suite.
Yeah. She's sitting on the floor?
On the edge of the bed. As you move in, I think you hear Harlan begins to kind of push in somewhere behind you. There's a little scuffle just,
actually, Harlan, you... So I mix, but where he goes, I go, so...
All right. And Marcus Rubus sort of turns around the corner, looks towards Zenia, and just says, "Are you absolutely sure about this?" And she looks at them in the eye, and it's this long, unbroken sort of stare between them. And she says,
"It's Jules. I want to trust him. I heard your song," and
she looks very nervously towards Harlan, but her gaze steadies and focuses on you. Marcus Ruba very nervously steps back, watching everything going on, but you don't miss that their knuckles kind of crack, and they stand in kind of this almost intimidating kind of ready stance, kind of not far behind where you and Harlan stand. And the floor is yours, Jules.
May I sit?
Yes. Please sit.
Jules goes and sits next to her.
Oh my God, it's Jules Roach.
reaches his hand over. I'm Jules.
Zenia.
Nice to meet you, Zenia.
You too. I've heard a lot of stories. All this cool stuff you've been doing, all that, everything on Saint Etienne.
Oh yeah, what's your favorite one?
Oh, well, I love the backstories, running away from home, sticking it to your stupid parents. It's cool. It's really cool. Kind of playing with a pigtail. And the rumors about... And she stops what she was going to say and kind of doesn't say anything else. Her face kind of just sort of neutral. Oh, it's stupid. It's nothing. It's nothing at all.
No. No, it's not stupid. I want to know what you're thinking.
Roll persuasion.
17.
She bites her lip, and you feel there's this, like, tension in the room, this sort of electricity. You don't even know where it's coming from.
Well, I just think that there's rumors about you and, Gabriela Cortez, Dance Macabre. It's so cute. It's so cute. I love it. Sorry.
No.
We just love Jance.
Well, right now, Zenia... And he nudges her with his elbow. You're my number one girl.
Holy shit.
David's blushing.
There's this high-pitched from almost like squeak.
I'd love if I could talk to you alone.
Like I said, you're my number one girl right now.
Wow.
Let's go chat.
All right, yeah.
Marcus Ruba steps forward. No, I don't think that's... the best idea. As you can see, Zenia is cleared of any wrongdoing, suspicions you might have. You had your little chat. You asked your questions. She's still traumatized, aren't you, Zenia?
If I can give my fans just a little bit of happiness, it makes it all worth it.
Nice reframing. Suck on that,
it's
Mix.
It's so tough. There's this, like... There's such a this weird energy in this room. There's this whole like unspoken conversation happening between Zenia and Marcus. And I think, give me your insight check. Let's see how much of this you catch.
Only an 11.
Okay. You don't catch a lot. All you know is Marcus does not want Zenia to speak with you. Marcus doesn't want Zenia to speak with anybody. And Zenia is in this weird place of this is... This is such an amazing moment, and maybe she's looking for something from you. Hmm. Not only is it just like fangirling, but maybe there's a trust built in, I guess, the sort of parasocial relationship that a fan builds towards someone they idolize. And perhaps in that, she's looking to you as like someone she can trust as much as her very Tata.
All right, so Jules will look over. Is that a balcony?
There is a balcony. Oh,
Jules
shit.
Is going to look over. Oh, I'm going to get some air. Zenia, if you'd like to join, I'd be happy to talk to you. And Jules slowly gets up and slowly starts making his way over.
There's just like another sort of full conversation of glances, eye movements, brow raising between Zenia and Marcus. And then finally, she kind of almost pouting just gets up. And turns and kind of moves over to the door. Harlan starts to move. We're like, yeah, well, let's step out. And I don't think you're going to want to do that.
big gray hand kind of touches down on Harlan's shoulder.
You should speak with me for now.
You have a moment alone.
Interesting.
It seems like as much as Marcus Rubo does not want Xenia to speak with you, they definitely don't want Xenia to speak with Harlan. You hear loud clomping footsteps, boots come up behind you on the balcony, stepping against the sort of tile.
Nice touch.
What? As Xenia kind of leans out next to you. What do you want to do?
Your tata seems pretty nice.
Yeah, they're great.
They seem pretty protective.
Oh, yeah, they can be. She's like very tight lips. She's saying things like, and kind of turning and looking back, like almost like trying to fix her eyes in the view. And you can see her eyes are still watery.
You can't hear us. Whatever you want to say stays between me and you.
Oh, this is tough. I was just wondering. I heard you speaking out in the hallway, and you were saying that you're looking into things. Mello's death?
Yeah.
Do you have any suspects?
I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Anyone that you think did it?
Not really yet. We're just asking questions. That's why I'm here.
Oh, okay. It's hard.
Is he a friend of yours?
You could say that. Insight check.
8.
Yeah, you don't know. She's telling the truth. They were kind of close.
So, I want to make sure you know that you're not in trouble or anything.
Why are we in trouble? Why would there be trouble?
Where were you when this was all happening?
The murder. I was in my room, you know, just getting ready for the dinner and your show afterwards.
Oh, yeah. You had a good outfit picked out?
Yeah, I did. I had, yep. Well, mostly something black.
Huh. You know, someone close to me used to wear something pretty similar.
He just said the color. He didn't describe it at all.
Yeah, I know somebody that used to wear black.
Wow.
But again, she's my number two right now.
There's just like this, it's this awkwardness. Like you're just standing out here and there's just something unspoken, something that maybe she wants to say, but she also knows better than to say it. And there's just this energy of awkwardness that you can't quite pierce. This strategy doesn't seem to be working. The question is, what can you do, Jules?
He'll look over and put his hand on her cheek.
Oh, I...
We're the good people. You can tell me anything. I've known a lot of people and I've been through a lot. I can tell. You want to say something.
Roll persuasion.
19.
Jules, what is a sky prison like? Everyone says it's horrible, and I don't know much about it. I know it's where people who deserve to... I know it's bad.
Why are you concerning yourself with the sky prison? I've never been there, so I can't really say.
Of course not. You're a good person. And her eyes are welling up. Like she's going to start crying, you know, like anew. And
it's okay. You can tell me.
Here's what I'm going to do. DC 19 wasn't quite what I was looking for.
I knew it.
But the way I'm going to resolve that is this. She turns to look at you, and her eyes catch yours, and they're just so full of pain. Just so much pain.
You know, part of being the good person and being the luminaries that you look up to is honesty. Even if it's painful.
It's not luminaries I look up to. It's rebels. People like you. People who... And she kind of looks down and
shakes her head, who are honest. Jules, I need to tell you that I... And the door slams open. This is the 19.
No, no, no. We're done. We're done.
Mix Margus Aruba stands before you, and you see that they have taken on full orcish sort of strength, muscles sort of bulging, veins sort of sticking out on their neck. Ta-ta, please.
No, 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 no. We're done. We're done.
Harlan and the...
Wait, what are you doing?
Hold on. You are grabbed.
Wait.
They're grabbing you while you're talking, just kind of muscling you.
No, no, no. We're done.
I'm not fighting him. I'm not trying to pull back from him.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. You're just being pulled away. It's dramatic. It's a dramatic moment.
Okay.
Hands outstretched. I don't care. It's cool.
Yeah. Jules looks at Xenia and says, trust me. Then turns to Margus, and in the biggest, silliest fashion.
What?
Totally non-threatening. Goes.
What are you doing?
His lute lights up. He goes, Abracadabra!
What the fuck is that?
And as he's doing that, he's casting Detect Thoughts onto Xenia.
Okay. I mean, once again, it's going to be a stealth check to do this.
That's fine.
Because you're hiding in other things.
Okay.
Fine. There's an ability called Subtle Spell that lets you do this. I can't give it to you for
free. I think it was more like... Because we talked about this off mic for a sec. I think it was more like he made it so obvious that he was casting a spell that it was meant to be like, I'm doing this and I'm not trying to hide it from you. Yes. It's not a threat.
This is me saying, I'm not doing anything threatening. I'm just doing magic tricks out here.
So you are, it's obvious you're doing the spell.
Yes.
Deception then, which is going to be a lot better for you than stealth.
Yeah, it's a 23.
This
is all we're doing.
Boom. Your mind is filled with thoughts. Margus just,
they have to go. They have to go. She doesn't understand. She doesn't understand what she's going to give away. I must protect her. I have to protect her. She didn't mean to do it.
And behind you, it was me. I killed him. And we'll call it there.